course, by Crime Stoppers, Sauk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. And that's where all calls, ladies and gentlemen, are kept confidential, and a reward of up to $5,000 issued sometimes for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacqueline, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, a current adjunct professor over at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, a guide for new investigators, third edition. Joe, a highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the most notable department, Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you on this front?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
It's good, my friend. All is good. Let's get into a couple of things. I guess, you know, one of the leads has to be what happened out in L.A. with his 31-year-old, Sean Laval Smith, who allegedly stabbed this young lady, a UCLA grad, in a store. She was alone in that store. And they picked him up. They picked him up yesterday early in Pasadena at a bus stop. But, you know, an individual, even more so, Joe, you know, you saw all the mugshots on TV of this guy dating back 10 years, 2010, you know, and just a rap sheet beyond belief, as I stated, from Mineola to Montauk. And this guy's walking the streets and, you know, kind of a prime example of where we are today in our society, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have their own problems with their own DA out there with this Gascon guy. This is just another one of those examples, like you said, that this somebody who shouldn't have been out is out. And unfortunately, the girl actually sent a text to one of her friends who she was talking to, or she was talking to her and said that, you know, she's getting a bad vibe about this guy inside the store. I mean, if you couple that with the incident that we had here in New York City where the guy killed the young woman in the Burger King, you know, you could see the similarities where people who should have been getting the help that they needed, either in a mental health facility or incapacitated in prison, and they weren't, and they were out.
Yeah, a prime example, and you brought it up, Gascon. You know, leads the list of all-stars, you know, Chisholm in Milwaukee with Daryl Brooks and the Waukesha Parade of what he did, mowing over people in an SUV. You know, you go on and on. Kim Fox, Chicago, Chase Boudin, San Francisco. You know, listen, where do you stop? Do you stop with Alvin Bragg? Do you stop with Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, leading the nation in homicides last year, that city? And how about Alvin Bragg, the way he has unraveled his first 20 days of the year in position as the Manhattan DA? I mean, come on. I mean, the whole thing, it's just getting out of hand, out of hand. You have a guy like this walking the streets. Should have been. Should not have been. That young lady should be alive today. I mean, you run out of words at this point in time. If we don't start changing, and if we don't start changing things, Joe, I mean, I don't see this getting better. I really don't. Until you get these guys and gals the hell out of office, really. That's what it's all about. That's why, you know, you have high hopes for Long Island. We say it a million times with individuals like Ray Tini and Ann Donnelly and Nassau. You know, you have hope. But the beat goes on when you get these types of situations.
Well, I mean, I point a number of times to the elections on Long Island about the turnover and some of the things that we haven't seen in, you know, 30 or 40 years, Republicans taking over spots. If that wasn't a wake-up call for Albany, I don't, you know, or anywhere else in state, I don't know what is. I mean, it's just, are they just looking to get thrown out of office? Because if they are, they continue down this path. But it's absolutely frightening what's happening between all of these incidents. I mean, and it just seems to be happening, like you said, everywhere, from coast to coast.
That's what it's all about, especially when you have a guy like Bragg who exposed the playbook a couple of weeks ago, said he will not prosecute certain activities, you know, prostitution, marijuana, turnstile jumping. As I always say, small things lead to big things. What are we saying with that type of a statement, right? It doesn't make sense. But this is what we got to live with. And the problem is we can make some change, you know. We can make some change here. But it's going to take an effort on a lot of folks. Now, one of the things I liked about this county executive in Nassau County, he is doing his deal here. He has done it with the mask wearing as far as the schools and everything else. He's leaving it up to the districts, getting backlash from Albany on that. But also, the other day, he signed an executive order as far as these bail reforms and other situations involved. You know, the fact that public record, you know, he'll make it as far as the rearrest when somebody is picked up, let out because of the flimsy laws, and then back in player's custody again. And he wants to acknowledge this in a transparent way, and that's a good thing, I think, is to keep track of this stuff, Joe.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is a lot that needs to be undone here, right? There are some reforms, you know, going forward that we could take a look at and see, you know, what's good and what's bad. But the people who were the architects behind all these things are going to lose everything, and the pendulum's going to swing so far back the other way that all this stuff is going to be unrecognizable, and we're going to be back in the same position or worse off with people who don't agree with what the criminal justice system does. So, I, you know, I always wish that there's a happy medium on everything, but that never seems to be, right? We're always either too far left or too far right. But you know what? This is how people are going to, you know, politicians in the future, people running for office, and I'm already seeing it with in the governor's race with Lee Zeldin and Tom Suozzi. I mean, if you saw their ads already attacking Alvin Bragg too. So this is going to be the flavor of the day for elections coming up for the next year or two, and it's going to get ugly.
Real ugly, Joe Jacklum, the crime report. And how about the new mayor, Eric Adams, this week? A little backtracking in his own right, you know, with the subways, you know, stating the fact that the subways are fine, you don't need to fear. And then, of course, he took his own ride a couple of days ago, early in the week. And, you know, he saw firsthand for himself. You know, he saw the drugs, the crack addicts, the homeless, you know, people sprawled out on the seats of the trains. You know, he got in front of the cameras and, you know, he kind of stated the obvious. You know, we've all ridden the subways, right? A couple of months ago, I even stated the fact. People sprawled down on the seats, taking naps. Crack addicts, nobody on the platform, no cops in sight, huge problem. He recognized it, did a kind of a 360, okay, and then stated the obvious of what we kind of felt, that more is needed here as far as the cleanup, and more of a police presence is needed as well, Joe.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I give the guy credit because the last mayor, I don't think he's ever ridden the train. If he did ride the train, you know, the cops would go down there and clear the whole thing before he would go in there. So at least this guy is going into these things without any photo ops or anything like that. And he's just going to see exactly the way things are. And he's reacting to it. And I think that's actually a breath of fresh air. So I applaud him for that. The issue that he needs to do is they need to step this up a little faster than they want to, because things are starting to spiral out of control. I think we've had three or four police-involved shootings in New York City already this year. They have, you know, a whole bunch of crime problems. I mean, they're up 35% for the year so far in crime. Year-to-date, that's total. I mean, murder's down, which is great, but everything else is through the roof. So he's going to enact this plan, and he better start enacting it quicker.
No doubt about it. There have been incidents, you know, burglary in the Bronx, suspect shot and killed. You know, there have been plenty of it as far as starting the year. You know, Keisha Sewell's had her fill so far as her post of commissioner, and we're only about 3 weeks in. So, you know, we looked at the numbers and everything else, and, you know, it's quite apparent as far as, you know, the situations at hand here. The crime report with the Sergeant Jack Law. Joe, let's go to a situation from midweek. Regarding the MS-13, we haven't spoken about them in a while, but we should note here of a fifth arrest in the gang's killing. You go back almost 6 years of a teenager again, you know, same type of storyline, somebody lured to an area, this one in Uniondale, a wooded area, and then stabbed with a machete, shot with a gun, buried there. But all in all, you know, rival gangs and everything else, lured in and then killed, but a fifth arrest made, Joe.
Yep, and it shows you that they're not stopping. They are actually now picking up their pace with the MS-13 gangs. And the issue that comes down to with this is how many more gang members have arrived here since we've had this border problem in the last year or so. And that's something that, you know, how many times have we talked about even this unaccompanied minor program? Like, how is it still going on? Is it, how many kids did Long Island get again? And listen, the Department of Justice put out a big press briefing the other day, and they had locked up a whole bunch of MS-13 members, and a number of them are from New York, too. So the feds are still all over this case. It's still a big problem, and it's something that you can't keep your eye off of and think that, it's because we haven't heard anything in 6 months that means that, everything's fine. It's never fine with this group. We know that. This is how they operate. They're very quiet for a long time, especially with all on the law enforcement eye, and then they'll rear their ugly head again somewhere else.
And you got to be encouraged somewhat again in fighting this type of activity. You got high hopes for these two DAs and Donnelly and Tierney. Tierney kind of assembling his team, I was reading yesterday, Joe. So, listen, he means business. He's got a great reputation. He has certainly performed in the courtroom regarding cartels and gangs and whatnot here. You got to feel very encouraged with individuals like Ann Donnelly again and Ray Tierney. These are people who have the experience and everything else. They will not let anything slip through the cracks. We've seen that before. But in essence, you got to feel very confident right now.
Well, yes. And you also have to look at the fact that they got elected partly because of how criminals were being treated previously to that. So these are two elections that I point to and say to people, if you don't undo some of this stuff, or you don't slow down the reforms, this was going to happen to you next. It is what it is at this point. But here's the other thing, the interesting part, right? Since we've also know that many assistant district attorneys have fled Manhattan's DA's office now under Bragg. They've gone, they've left, they've retired, they've quit. I'd like to see how many of them show up here on Long Island, right? How many are going to get hired in Suffolk and Nassau to get? That's the best way to go, because probably most of them live here. So that's going to be an interesting little tidbit. I think Long Island is going to benefit from the brain drain from Manhattan, specifically in the district attorney's office.
No question about it. A couple of more for Joe. Joe, big story here regarding this Uber driver, former driver. A lot of emotion yesterday in the court where jurors found that Sean Williams did not kidnap a 15-year-old girl he picked up, some sort of a Sweet 16 party going back to 2019 in Atlantic Beach. The jury deliberated for I think it was about 4 hours. They cleared Sean Williams of felony kidnapping charges and other things. Could have faced up to a year in jail, but a crazy story of misinformation going on here.
Well, certainly, but they did convict him of the child endangerment part. Hey, listen, the criminal justice system did exactly what it's supposed to do, right? So, if you like the verdict, great. If you don't like it, then, that's the way our system works. So he didn't get off scot-free, but the big charge for sure. But let's see what happens with this child endangerment charge.
A couple of more for the Sarge, where during the week, there was a couple of things. This was kind of a chock full of storylines here, Joe, this past week, where detectives made an arrest, this Dominic Parisi, and charging him. Remember the murder? It was on Christmas morning in Southampton. The shooting death Parisi is now charged with of Stephen Burns of Southampton. So they did a good job here as piecemealing and whatnot, but this was the guy that apparently killed Stephen Burns right on Christmas morning out in the East End there, which was a big storyline.
Oh, no, it was big. This was it was the home invasion, correct?
Exactly.
This went during the home invasion. So, Parisi, he actually, he was in prison for first-degree manslaughter, and he was paroled, I think, in 2010 or 2011, too. So this guy has had a checkered past for sure. So it's a little bit disheartening when you find out that people who are killing people are getting out of prison and only to have them do it again. And that this is what we've been talking about, like what is going on here.
No question. Also, another big one where a federal judge has again recommended the former NYPD officer, and that being Valerie Cincinelli, convicted of obstructing a grand jury investigation. Remember, Joe, the plan to hire a hitman to kill her estranged husband? Well, the recommendation now is for her to serve some time in a prison in Connecticut. So she had written a letter to a judge. She was, I think, going to be transferred somewhere in Kentucky. And remember, she got the sentence last year, 4 years, behind bars. She pled guilty to the charge of obstructing justice. She's being held in Brooklyn here. But anyway, the beat goes on here as far as, you know, what do you do with this former police officer here with this plan?
Well, she got off light, that's for sure. So, you know, in 4 years, she'll probably do two. And then she'll be out, you know. And in this criminal justice reform world, God only knows, you might even spend a lot less than that. So, you know, it's unfortunate that when you have people in this profession that do this, it just makes so things so much more difficult for the men and women out there that are actually doing the job and doing the right thing.
Yeah. And Joe, one more for you. It could have been a lot worse. The rabbi, and listen, everything unfolded last Saturday night. The rabbi of a Texas synagogue, gunman taking hostages during live stream services. And the rabbi fought very quickly, threw a chair at this guy before escaping with a couple of others. It was one of those deals, a long standoff there. But a good ending there as far as this Charlie Citron Walker was concerned, the rabbi and this gunman. And the scary part of it is, you know, this is a guy, again, was he on the watch list, terrorism watch list? How did he slip through the cracks? How did he get there? You know, traveled in, you know, from overseas, made his way down to Texas. He wanted somebody to be released from incarceration. And look what ensued. And thank goodness this thing came out okay. But a very tense situation down in Texas near Dallas last Saturday, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, the law enforcement agencies and the FBI and the hostage negotiators did an unbelievable job, right? So they really did a fantastic job. And we're quite fortunate that this thing didn't, end up into a massacre. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, and you touched on it, he comes from the UK. He's not supposed to be flying on planes. How did he get here? And this is where we need to make sure that the story doesn't die, because we need to have answers. Because if something is amiss, if something's broken, we need to fix it. Because if this is, you know, if you end up with more people that are doing this because of loopholes or some other breakdown in the system, we're in big trouble. So we need to figure out exactly what transpired in this case, as painful as it might be for the authorities that are involved in it. We need to have an answer.
Got to figure this out. No question. We got out lucky. Next time could be a different deal. Joe Jacklone, great stuff. We will continue to monitor and look forward to having you on next week, sir.
Sounds great. Have a good weekend.